Good morning. Yeah, come have a seat. We're going to get started for part two. I see the oozing going on. There is much oozing that is good, that pleases the Father's heart. Amen. Was there anybody who did not get oozed on? Nobody wants to admit it. Yeah, I've got plenty left too. I'll jump down right now and ooze on you. Okay, may the oozing stop. Come have a seat. You rambunctious people, you. Awesome. Well, welcome to the church at Whistling Pines. It is awesome to have you here today. My name is Sean McCracken. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. I'm the lead team pastor. And man, it is just awesome, awesome, awesome to be in the presence of God, isn't it? Did you guys feel it tangibly? Yeah, it's good worship. Really good worship. And the Lord wants to speak to us today. If this is your first time with us, we are so happy that you're here. Hopefully you had an opportunity to fill out a guest registration card so that we have a record of your attendance and we can send you something really, really cool in the mail, because that's how we roll. And if this is your 20th time or your 200th time, you're just as welcomed. Maybe not quite as much as the first time guy, but it's okay. But I hope you come expecting for God to radically change your life and to speak to you every time you come in these doors. And even more importantly, that when you leave these doors, you realize that you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you, and that you too can affect resurrection life in other people's lives. And so we're expecting more of the same today. And I want to read scripture real quick that we read last week. 1 Corinthians 14, beginning with verse 1, says, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." So prophecy is speaking to men for strengthening, for encouraging, and for comfort. And I get to quote somebody who's actually here in the audience, and that's super cool. Usually you quote somebody that is already dead or something. But he's got a long time before he dies. Jared Gustafson said something to our leadership that was so powerful. And what he said was that this is the best definition of prophecy I've ever heard before in my life, by the way. Prophecy is hosting the dream of God for another. So when we prophesy, we're hosting the dream of God. We're hearing from God, and we're the host of this amazing word that we then get to share with somebody else. So that's why we are to encourage each other in the gifts and to earnestly desire the gifts, especially that we may prophesy. So this morning we have two amazing people, great friends of mine, Mike Giordano and Jared Gustafson from Redlands, California. And I had the opportunity 2 years ago to spend a week with them and was rocked just being with their community. They have a community of organic churches, house churches, communities is probably the best way to put it, of like-minded people who get together and pray and worship and prophesy over each other and more importantly, go out in the streets and do that. They bring that wherever they go. And that little network is called Big Network, whatever big in the mind of God is called Life Quest. So I want to invite these two guys up. Come on up. Give them a hand. Both of these guys flow mightily in the prophetic gifting. And so remember last week we talked about impartation and how God desires to impart spiritual gifts in us through those who are gifted in that. We read and we talked about how Paul told Timothy to fan into flame that gift that is within you from the laying on of my hands. And so we can be imparted spiritual gifts. And so they're here not just to teach us, though they have amazing teaching gifts as well. They're here to impart this, because our desire, leadership, we came together and we talked, and we want to have a atmosphere. We want to have a, what's the word I'm looking for? Culture of prophecy in our midst. So without further ado, here's Jared Gustafson and Mike Giordano.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Can we just start with a ooh, ooh? Wow, that was so much fun. Last night, for those that weren't here, we just began to worship the Lord and celebrate the life of God. And I just got up to just share a small story, and I was only partway through my story when a conga line burst out. And this conga line just began to go around the church building. And the joy of the Lord was in this place in such a special way. And I felt like the Lord's just saying, I'm strengthening my people by the joy that I had. It was the joy that was set before Jesus was the reason why he went to the cross. I believe there was a dream in his heart. There's a dream of a people that would host his presence. It was what he purchased on the cross. And so, I just believe the fullness of God's life is in this place, and it's in you. Amen? You're looking, if you look around, go ahead and look around really quick, just look around. You see the fullness of God's life being expressed in very many different people. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's so exciting. And so I just came just to share in that life, the life of God that is already existing amongst his people, and it's oozing out of you. Amen? Right before I got up here, I was searching for a kazoo. I thought I had a kazoo in my midst, and I was searching it everywhere, and I couldn't find it. And then right when I got to these stairs, I found it. It was in my pocket. Yeah. And last night, I just encouraged everyone to buy a kazoo and to play the kazoo while you drive in your car, just celebrating the joy of the Lord. And you'll be so surprised what happens when you just continue to celebrate the Lord, because whatever you're conscious of is naturally released in the atmosphere. You know what I like to do before I go to a restaurant? I just park my car. I stay in my car for about 30 seconds or more. It doesn't even have to be long. You just get so conscious of the presence and the life and the love of Jesus. You step your foot out of your car and you walk into the restaurant, and you just naturally release what you're conscious and aware of. And I was at a restaurant one time, and the Lord gave me this word for the waitress, and I just began to just prophesy a little bit. I was like, do you have a son and you have a daughter? And there's been recently you've had to really care for your son, but the Lord wants you to know as you care for your children, the Lord cares for you. And I just began to speak this word. And her mom actually owned the restaurant. She then took that testimony and testified to her mom. And the atmosphere in the entire restaurant just began to change because the owner got aware of God. And it just trickled down to all the staff and all the staff ministering to all the people. And so the Lord's presence is just so in you, and you just become conscious of it and just naturally release it. Amen? Amen. So it's so exciting to be here. We got to hang out with the leadership of this community, and they so strongly believe in the presence of God and his people. They so strongly believe that the Lord's presence is in you and that you are called by his name to be a priest. To be a priest that carries the good news of God and just shines the good news of God all throughout Florida. And so it's so exciting to be here. As I was boarding a plane, I was just asking the Lord, what is it? Why am I going on this trip? Here I'm going across the entire nation to Florida. And I believe he was just saying to celebrate the life of God in my people. It's not that you're just coming to bring anything, but you're just going to celebrate and remind my people that they were called by my name to just host my life. So I just want to pray right now, but I want to dare us to believe in the life of God in a new way. To believe in the life of God and the love of God in a new way that would just totally just minister to our hearts this morning, but day after day that would just so minister to our hearts. So, Lord, I just lift up your name, Jesus, right now. I thank you for your presence in this place, and I thank you for your life, Father. The life of God that has come down from heaven to embrace your people. Your very name was Emmanuel, God with us. That there's now no separation between the divine nature of God and humanity, because the Lord has infused his presence into his people to express himself freely and effortlessly in the heart that will just surrender to the Lord. And so I just celebrate, Lord, tonight, well, this morning is not just about another meeting, Father. It's not just about a routine, but it's about encountering a God that is alive in the hearts of his people. So we just so celebrate you. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to hand it over to Mike, but I just want to share a small word. I grew up in the Christian church, and I just never felt quite good enough for God. I never felt like I could just do quite enough for him. And then he showed me this revelation that apart from anything that I could ever do for him, he came from heaven to fully embrace me. And he was the only one that could speak, Jared, you're enough. Jared, just as you are, you're enough. If you never did another thing for me, you're just enough for me. You're enough for my love. And so I began to live by this message that the fullness of God embraced me. The fullness of Jesus embraced me. And I began to identify there's two messages in this world. There's only two. I believe there's two messages. One is a message of lack, and the other is a message of fullness. Everything about the world system preaches a message of lack. It's either you're not good enough, you're not doing it enough, you're not strong enough, you're not fast enough, you're not thin enough, you're not smart enough. It's everything in the message of the world will always come with a message of lack. This message originated in the garden. Do you remember when the serpent lied to humanity? Do you remember when he said, if you eat of this tree, then you will be like God? But what was the truth? That they were created in the image and the likeness of God. And the enemy is always trying to convince us to do something, to obtain something that we actually already possess. That is religion. To try to convince you to do something, to get something that is actually already living inside of you. It's called the Lion of Judah, and he's roaring within. And so I just want to encourage the people of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I just want to encourage the people of God that the life, the Zoe life, the abundant life is living inside of you. And the message of the world that constantly preaches a message of lack is silenced in Jesus' name. That you could operate from the fullness of God inside of you and enjoy your expression of the fullness of God. Thank you so much for having me in Florida. I love you guys so much. I just want to give you a big bear hug. I just bear hug the room right now. I love you so much. I want to hug everyone after the service. Come up and give me a hug. Love you guys. Here's my dear friend and a father in the faith to me, Michael Giordano.
Isn't that guy just amazing? I mean, seriously, how would you like to follow that all the time on the road? I have to do that. I have to hear this great communicator and then come behind him sometimes. And so it's always a pleasure. I've known Jared since he was about 4 years old. His family came to the church that I pastored and when I was in full-time misery. And the Lord changed me from living in ministry to living life. And so that's what I've been doing for the last 5 years. And Jared and I got reconnected, and we travel together and do things. We told Sean last night, we create messes and we let churches clean them up. So that's going to be the plan tonight. You know, just real quickly, sometimes the Lord works through this in my own physical body. I start having pains certain places. And hopefully it's not because I'm getting old, but because he's really speaking to me about people's body ailments. So I'm going to ask you to stand real quick, because I really feel like the Lord is going to like heal some people right off the bat. And so we're just going to let him do his thing, because that's what he does. And so there's somebody here that is having kidney pain in their right side. Whoever that is, I want you to just raise your hand. Kidney pain in the right side. Some kind of pain. Maybe it's not a kidney. Where are you? Right there. Okay. See this precious lady? Come down here, sister. We're just going to let the Lord just touch you. So somebody else is having left knee pain. Whoever that is, where are you? Left knee pain. Oh, come on down. There's a couple knee pains. Here we go. And then right here in this area, like in your left neck, whoever you are, right here, left neck. Okay? Left neck. All right, we tell people that Dr. Jesus makes house calls, and he's the best chiropractor on the planet, but we need you to participate, okay? So we want the church just to extend their hands, and as we do that, somebody here, you're going to feel, some of you here in the gathering this morning, you're going to feel a sensation in your body. Some of you are going to feel like, you're going to feel a rush. Some of you are going to feel a heat go through your hands. And so when you feel something happen in your body when we pray, I want you to run down here and put your hands on some of the people that are here, all right? We're going to have you lay hands on them, all right? So, Father, we pray right now, release your power, your presence, Lord, to just heal bodies right now, Father, in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, for a release of fire and power in this place, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray that, Lord, every ailment would be healed right now supernaturally, Lord. That all pain would be diminished. Lord, that pain is a name, and at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. If you felt something in your body when I prayed that prayer, run down here right now and put your hands on somebody. Run down here. Come on, come on. Run, 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 run. You can run in church. It's okay. Put your hand on them. If you feel something in your body, put your hand on them real quick. We need some people from this side. Come on, come on. You felt something in your body. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Do you know the Lord heals people because He loves to manifest His love to you? It's not because, you know, people say, well, I don't have enough faith. Well, He's got faith enough for both of you. You and Him. Thank you, Father. Got one sister here that needs somebody to lay hands on her. Somebody else. You felt something in your body. Sometimes you can feel a tingling in your hands. Sometimes you don't feel anything, but I believe today specifically there's something that's happening. Thank you, Father. Yeah, the brother's got hot hands, don't he? Yeah. He's like, he can't wait to put his hands on somebody. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Just position your heart to receive. You don't need to do anything. You don't try to manufacture or make something happen. Just receive His love for you as a sign of His love for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Amen. So, this is what I want you to do. Whatever you couldn't do before with that part of your body, whether it's a knee, a shoulder, a neck, or whatever, move it around. And shake off that religion. Shake off any religious attitudes that you've had in your life. Just shake them off. Because religion, that's what religion will tell you. Religion will tell you you can't have that. Yeah. Shake it. Shake it off. Shake it off. Thank you, Lord. Did anybody feel something tangible happen in your body? Somebody tell me. Anybody here? You did, sister? Yeah. How about you guys? You feel something happen in your body? How's your side? Almost? Would you say like 80%? Okay, if Jesus can do 80, He can do another 20, right? Let's pray again, all right? Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just declare over our sister right now, full, you purchase total healing. Not just occasional or partial, but full healing. So we pray this over our sister right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray In the name of Jesus, you are the best chiropractor on the planet. Lord, we pray, straighten the spine right now, Father. We ask you to do it, Lord, for the love of the sister, Father. You purchased it, and we declare it over her body, Lord, right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Those that got prayed for and those that prayed over them, give them a big hug, all right? Give them a big bear hug this morning, all right? Awesome. Oh, don't sit down yet. I got something for you guys to do. What I want you to do is I want you to put your hand on the person's shoulder right next to you. Okay? And I want you to bless them with I want you to say this. This is what I want you to pray. Say, Father, I bless them with a revelation of what they already possess in you. And I want you to pray into that right now for 60 seconds, all right? Just pray into that right now. Say, Father, I bless my brother, I bless my sister for what they already possess in you. Thank you, Father. I wish I had the clock for that. 60 seconds, come on. Just bless them. Encourage them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what the inheritance is in the saints, Lord. What they possess already in you. And I pray, open eyes, open ears, open hearts to what they already possess in you, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord. We bless you and we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. All right. So, just a sort of a heads up this morning. At any point you feel you need to go, if things get a little crazy and wild, it's okay, all right? We're unoffendable, all right? We tell people in California the meeting starts when you get here and it ends when you leave. So you can leave at any point that you're not going to offend us, all right? So I just want to give just a grace permission to everyone here at any point. And we don't have an agenda as far as what we're... But Sean's already leaving. Wow. I didn't even said anything yet. All right. All right, this morning we're going to tackle the book of Ephesians. The entire book, all right? You think I'm joking? Open your Bible to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, all right? You have a Bible, iPad, electronic device, Android. Nobody carries Bibles anymore. Have you noticed that? It's just like everything, everywhere you go, it's like an electronic device almost. Let me just tell you a real quick story as we launch into the book of Ephesians this morning. A few months back, I meet with a couple of college guys on a weekly basis. And these guys challenged me. They said, we want to tackle a book together. And so why don't we tackle the book of Ephesians together? And what we meant by tackling it was that we were going to read it every day for 3 months. And every time we got together, we were going to share the revelations that we received that God spoke to us through the book of Ephesians. So we launched out. There was one thing that we all challenged each other with, and that is whoever didn't read the week prior to our meeting, every day, the book, that they were responsible for buying lunch. So that's an incentive, right? And so I was challenged because two reasons. One is I wanted to just tackle the book myself. And secondly, I knew that college students never have any money, and I knew that if they showed up for lunch and I hadn't read, I was going to be buying $20 lunches every week, which got it really expensive. So there was a motivation on my part to really tackle this book. And so we got into this, and we started reading it, and I started reading this book every day for 90 days. And I tackled it. I tackled it every day for 90 days. Not that I'm somebody spiritual. I just really had ulterior motives. I didn't want to dish out $100 a month for these kids to eat, not to eat off my plate. So anyway, something began to happen. It was like 30 days into it, I was just like, I felt like a dog chewing a bone. You know what dogs chew bones like? Just never get anywhere. And so about 30 days into it, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to stop reading, and I want you to let it start reading you. And then something happened inside of me. This book became the most glorious book I've ever studied in Scripture. It literally changed my life. And I believe this morning what the Lord shared with me and taught me is going to really impact you. Because it is, I believe, the most glorious book, one of the most glorious books in Scripture. All Scripture is glorious, but this book is glorious. And let me tell you the reason why. If you've ever wanted to know what the Lord thinks about the church, God's eternal perspective of the church, the book of Ephesians is it. Couple of quick notes. One, it only mentions the name of one person at the end of the book. There is no mention of anybody else except for the end of the book. Paul mentions the name of a guy named Tychicus. Number two, it's the only letter that Paul wrote in the entire New Testament that is not corrective. It's not a corrective letter. And number three, the book in the book of Acts, it tells us that the church in Ephesus was a church where all of Asia Minor heard the gospel. I don't know if you've ever been to Asia Minor. I've been near there. It is not a small undertaking for all of the gospel to be preached in Asia Minor. That was Turkey. That was Syria. That was all Iran, Iraq, all these areas today that we are like our problem areas. All of Asia Minor heard the gospel. So I was undertaken with this book, and I'm going to share with you this morning. I'm going to give you a fast forward, sort of a preview of the entire book. All right? So stick with me here. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul uses the word 14 times. You are in Christ. You are in Him. 14 times from 1 to 14. It says that you are in Christ. And I discovered something as I read that. The Father is absolutely 100% addicted to Jesus. And if you are in Jesus, He's addicted to you. Absolutely, He can't be satisfied with any other thing than the person of Jesus Christ. And He placed you in Him, and you are in Him. Ephesians chapter 2, you are saved by grace through faith. It is not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. The word workmanship there is the word poema. Literally translated, it means you are God's handiwork. Literally translated, it means you are God's poem. You are the creative expression of God in the earth, walking the earth with creativity, full of the passion of God's creative aspect. You are unique, and everything about you bears a divine nature about you because He has placed that nature in you, and you are now the poema of God, and you walk with the creativity of God. Everywhere you go, it oozes through you. It doesn't mean you one day you'll get there. You are already there. You are the poetry of God. Turn around and look at the poetry this morning. Look at the poetry. God is a master craftsman. Do you know that no one on this planet shares your DNA? That's how creative He is. Your hair, your eyes, everything about them are unique to you because He's the master craftsman who's creating. And He's saying, through you, the expression of good works is simply living from the overflow of the divine. Everything in you is now, you live from the divine nature of Christ in you. And when Christ is in you, you're just a simple expression of that divine life everywhere you go. Chapter 3, bear with me. Chapter 3, Jew and Gentile now have been made one. The mystery has been revealed. The mystery has been revealed in Christ, and He brought together Jews and Gentile, and now the mystery has been known. There's no more mysteries in God because He's revealed them in the person of His Son, Jesus. Ephesians 4, there's one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is oneness in the Spirit, and now we can walk together in the oneness, unhindered relationship between God the Father. That is what has been established in the oneness. Ephesians 5, walk in wisdom, walk in the light, walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 6, Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to take your stand against the enemy. And you know what? The way that's written, it's written in the present tense. It's not one day we'll get the victory. When the rapture comes, we will get the victory because the victory is already be accomplished in Christ. In fact, the picture there is really powerful. You know what it is? It's a picture of a Roman wrestler with his foot on the top of the enemy's neck, and his hand is raised in the air, and there's a declaration that's being made known to the people of God that we are the victors. We are the victors. That's Ephesians 1 through 6. Told you. All right. Father, we thank you for this service this morning, and we pray that everybody would be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Go home. That's a joke. There was one word that I discovered as I read this every day for 90 days that leapt off the page to me. And it's the word this morning I want to share with you that revolutionized my life. I want to read four scriptures to you real quickly out of the book of Ephesians. Follow along with me real quick. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Ephesians 3:19. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 5:17 and 18. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Someone tell me what words jumped off the page at you. Everybody say it. Come on. Very good. Awesome. Filled. Fullness. So at the end of every section that Paul completed his thoughts, from Ephesians 1 all the way to the end of the thought about what it means knowing our place in Christ, he uses and concludes a thought with what it means to be filled. I want you to bear with me for just a second. We are constantly asking the Lord to do something that he's already done. We're asking him to fill us when he says you already have received the fullness. The key is learning to walk in what he's already accomplished so that it becomes an everyday part of your life. This word intrigued me. I was like, I got to know what this means. What does this word mean? What does it mean to walk in fullness? What does it mean to be filled? Because we sing songs, we're like, Lord, fill me now, fill me now. And it's almost like we're coming, like Jared said, we're coming from a place where we're always recognizing our lack, but we never recognize in the present tense what's already been done for us. I mean, I travel throughout churches throughout the United States, and I hear these words all the time. We can't do that. We don't have this. It's almost like everybody has a poverty mentality when it comes to the things of the Spirit. And I want to tell you this morning, I believe the Lord wants to slay that religious devil in all of us that says we don't have enough and what we possess is not enough. And I will tell you this morning, what we have is enough. He is enough and he lives in you. These aren't just words when it says that let the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. Let it dwell in you. Let it overflow from you. You know what prophetic ministry really is? It's living from a place where the divine just overflows in your life. That's what it is. And I was intrigued by this word. I was like, I've got to find out what this word meant. So I just traced its origins. And it has its origins in the Gospels. It has its origin in a place where Jesus is meeting with the 12. It says in John 6, and you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to tell you the story for the sake of time. Jesus says to the disciples, it says that he sees a great multitude coming towards him. And they look at each other, and they said, these people are hungry. who's going to feed them? And there's this one guy by the name of Philip who speaks up and says this: there's a little boy here who has 5 loaves and how many fish? 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know that's the only time he's quoted in Scripture? It's the only time you ever hear from him. You never hear another word from him in Scripture. This little boy has a happy meal. His mother, like a good mother, like, by the way, I want to say to Kim and Bobby, Bobby's not here, but they have taken such good care of us this morning, all through this whole time. You know, doing traveling ministry, honestly, it's like Forrest Gump in a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Little girls' beds. Some people don't even ask you if you want anything to eat. I mean, honestly, and she has taken so good care of us and Bobby as well, and we just honor you and applaud you. Thank you so much. So like Kim, this little mother, I'm sure, got up on that morning and said, I'm going to fix my little boy a happy meal, and I'm going to have him go out to the multitudes where Jesus are. And he went out, and he's out there in the multitudes, and all this is going on. And Philip goes, hey, by the way, just want you to know, we're about to steal your happy meal to feed this multitude of people. You know, a multitude was thousands, by the way. It was thousands. So somehow, can you just see this in Scripture? Like, they're wrestling with this little boy. You know, have you ever tried to take food from a kid? I mean, seriously. I'm going to take his chicken McNuggets away from him, and I'm going to steal, you know, you can't, I have 2 grandsons, and I want to tell you something. They're like a pit bull on those chicken nuggets. You will not be able to pry them out of their hands. And I can just see them dealing with this little boy, trying to take this out of his hands. Finally, they somehow wrestled this little boy, or either he just graciously gave it up. And it says that they took the food, they put it in Jesus' hands, he blessed it, he broke it, and they took it, and they began to distribute it. And they begin to give it to everyone who they came in contact with. Even to the fact that at the end, there was so much food that they took 12 baskets and they did what with the baskets? They filled, somebody was paying attention, they filled them it says that they filled them to the point where the word actually translated is the Greek word, which is the word is used in Ephesians, is the word pleroma, which means to be filled, to be full, to live in fullness. That's the word, pleroma. It means there is an excess. It's excessive. And once you put it and you take it and you distribute it, it fills you to the place of overflowing. Here, church, is the key to walking in fullness. You take what has already been given to you, and as you give it away, you get more. People tell me, I want to learn how to operate in the prophetic. Then here's what you need to do. You already have the fullness of God. Take that one thing the Lord speaks to you, and as you act upon it, He gives you more. He doesn't just give you more, He gives you more than you can handle. Because it flows out of you onto other people. And Paul's view of the church, this is how he saw the church. The church now is the fullness of Him who fills everything and everywhere. And that's what we possess in Him. So you take what you have, whatever it is, and you give it away. And as you give it away, it comes back to you more in excess to the point where you can't contain it all. Are you breathing? And it just, what it does, it eradicates a poverty mentality. I want to tell you something. There's nothing this church can't do. You possess all of the divine life in Christ. Everything, miracles, healing, supernatural ability, finances, resources, everything you need to advance the kingdom in the earth dwells within inside of this body right now. I want to tell you a couple stories to demonstrate this. This past year, I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I went to the YMCA. A friend of mine just dropped me off at the YMCA. And so I took my headphones, my earplugs, I go to the YMCA, I grabbed you know, my massive amount of weight on the deadlift, which is about 135 pounds, you know. So I looked out of my left corner of my eye, and there was a guy standing next to me. And he was an Adonis. He's 6'5", to weigh 275 pounds. He had 475 pounds on a deadlift, and he was lifting it like it was a toothpick. So I just glanced over, and I was like, I think I'm going to move over just a little bit to my right here. This is a little intimidating. So I'm just doing my thing. He's doing his thing, you know. He's grunting, but he's just lifting it with no big deal. He's just like picking it up, stretching his back, doing the whole thing, you know. The Lord speaks to me and said, he's a struggling NFL football player, and I want you to prophesy over him. I'm like, how do you approach someone with that information? Seriously, what do you say? So I tell you what I did. I broke out in cold sweats. I'm like, give me a little old lady in a grocery store with a shopping cart. I'd rather prophesy over her, but please don't give me an NFL football player. So I put my headphones on and I was praying and interceding. I was like walking and talking, and I just said, and then the sweats turned into a tongue that I'd never encountered before. And I just started praying in the Spirit, and I'm walking back and forth. And I know when the Lord speaks to me, you know why? He will not leave you alone. He wins. He gets his way all the time. He's the only person in the world that's self-willed, and it's right. So I went back to my deadlift place, the box on my deadlift. I look, and he's gone. And I was like, surely I'm not going to have to do this, right? I took my headphones out, and he's got a crowd of people down at the bench press where he's bench pressing over 400 pounds. And everybody in the gym is watching this guy. He's got like a little circle of everybody. And the Lord said, now is the time. I was like, okay. So I just gingerly walked down there, and he gets off of the bench press, and I just tapped him on the shoulder. And I said, sir, excuse me. I said, do you happen to be an NFL? I didn't say struggling. I said, do you happen to be an NFL football player? And he goes, matter of fact, I am. And I said to him, well, I feel like I have a message from the Lord, because I think the Lord is speaking to me. And he goes, get on with it. And so I'm like, I only have one thing to say. That's it. I got one thing to say. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, if I ask more questions, maybe the Lord will give me more things to give to him. So I asked this brilliant question. I said, what team do you play for? He said, I play for the Indianapolis Colts. And the first thing that came out of my mouth was, I'm sorry. They were like 2-14 that year. And he goes, ha ha, good one. And I said, I'm going to put my hand on your shoulder if it's okay. Now, there's a little crowd of people watching us, probably about 20 people watching us just go on. I put my hand on his shoulder, and I started praying over him, and I said, the Lord knows the plans he has for you. They are good and not for evil. And he goes, wait a minute, man. You're messing with me now. I said, excuse me. And he goes, that's the prayer my mama prays over me every day. She prays that prayer over me every day. And so I said, can I continue now? And he's like, sure, go for it. So I put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, I just started speaking. I started speaking life over him. Then I started speaking over the struggles that he was going through. You know, you've been diminished by certain coaching staffs, and people have said this about you, that you're not worthy of the NFL. And this big 6'5", 275 guy is doing, his lips starts quivering. And then tears start streaming down his eyes. And then the Lord began to speak more to me. And I asked this next brilliant question. I said, does the name, I'm sorry, it's just, I'm just so stupid sometimes. I'm just like, does the name the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints mean anything to you? You're asking an NFL football player if this means anything to you? And he goes, how did you know that, man? I said, how do I know what? He says, that's the two teams that my agent is currently negotiating with at this moment. So we pray, and we continue to pray. The Lord keep, now I'm like, I'm feeling confident now. And like, the Lord starts downloading stuff on this guy. At the end of it, he picks me up like this in a bear hug, and he's like jumping with me like this. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Thank you. I was like, brother, please put me down. Please put me down. He hugs me, gives me his phone number. Outside linebacker for at the time for the Indianapolis Colts. He went on to play for the Atlanta Falcons. They made it to the championship game, the NFC championship. He's an outside linebacker. Dan Davis is his name. 6'5", 280-pound, 8% body fat. How does anybody do that? Honestly. Seriously, 8% body fat. It's crazy. So I'm thinking, it's over with, right? I'm on my way. I'm making my exit out of the gym. I hear a voice behind me. Sir, wait a minute. I turn and look. It was another big dude. Another guy, 6'4", 250 pounds, looking at me. I'm like, I don't know you. And I just kept going. I'm making my way to the exit as soon as I could get there. And he's like, at this time, I'm thinking, he's surely talking about somebody else. And he's pointing his, wagging his finger at me. Sir, wait a minute. I have something to tell you. And I keep looking, finally I just froze. And he, at that time, he starts running towards me. And he runs. And then he gets his finger out, and it's coming right at my face. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, what am I going to do, you know? What if he hits me, you know? I mean, all these things and thoughts are going through my mind. And he goes, sir, I'm going to tell you something. I'm thinking maybe I, like, violated some kind of gym ethic or something by, like, preaching the gospel and prophesying over people. And he goes, sir, what you did right there, it made you the strongest man in this gym. And I went, thank you so much. I stood back. Guess what? He starts prophesying over me. He said, the Lord has called you to the nations. You have a nation calling on your life. And he's like, he starts speaking. He goes, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Matrix. He said, but there's the red pill and the blue pill. He goes, what that was right there is you took the red pill. That is what God's called you to do. He's called you to take the red pill because the red pill is the place of adventure. And then he's, as he's prophesying this, he said, excuse me, I go to First Baptist of Charlotte. I better tone this down a little bit because we don't do this in our church. And he speaks these words of life over me to the point, and he tells me, he says, I'm a bank executive for Bank of America. But I want you to notice how Pleroma works. You take what you have, you give it away, and guess what happens? It comes back to you to the point where you receive now and you live in excess. These are the simple principles of walking in fullness. Another one of my recent trips, and this is the last story I'll tell, and then we're just going to let the Holy Spirit do His thing. On one of my trips, I was on my way to gym to try to get a gym pass in Franklin, North Carolina, and a lady who was taking me to the gym, she said, hey, I have a friend who works. She works at a gym, and she will give you a free pass. She called her up. She said, oh, you're not working today? Oh, you've been sick. What's wrong with you? She's talking on the other line, and I'm listening to the conversation. She goes, there's a friend of mine here from California. He'll pray over you. And I first thought, I was like, well, I didn't say I'd pray over her. And so she looked at me, she said, will you pray over her? And I said, yeah, sure. Can I get the gym pass for free? And she goes, like, yes. So we pull up at this girl's house. We open the door. And honestly, folks, I felt like I walked into a morgue. Her mother, her father, her husband, her daughter, and her daughter's boyfriend were standing there. And she was sitting on the couch, and she was pale white. And when I walked in, I looked at her, and she said, I said, "Hi, I'm from California." She said, "So what?" I'm like, why do I put up with this kind of abuse? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I didn't ask for this. I said, "Can I come over and sit next to you?" And she said, "Whatever." And her family's standing there, and I said, "What's wrong with you?" And she said, I cannot keep any food down. She said, "Every time I eat food, I get sick. It doesn't matter what it is." She said, "This morning I've been up since 4 a.m. and I've already regurgitated at least 5 times." And I said, can I pray for you?" And she said, "Do whatever you want to do." And man, I'll tell you, I didn't feel pressure, but honestly, the part of me was like, I would rather be getting a root canal at the dentist than be here right now. That's how I felt, honestly, because I felt this is not going anywhere. So I just gingerly put my hand up on her shoulder, right there on her shoulder, and I just said, her name was Melissa, and I said, "Father, I just pray over Melissa right now in the name of Jesus." And as soon as I said in the name of Jesus, my spirit opened up, and I saw a picture. I saw a picture of the woman with the flow of the issue of blood trying to get through the crowd to get to Jesus, just to touch the hem of his garment. So I stopped and I said, "I'm going to describe to you the picture that I just saw. I saw you as the woman with the flow of the issue of blood." And when I said the woman with the flow of the issue of blood, she took her hand, threw it off of her shoulder, and she said, "Stop it! Stop it right now!" So I just reached over and I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus," I just kept praying. She said, "Did you hear what I just said? I said, stop it." And she took my hand and threw it off of her again. And she broke down and put her head between her legs and she's sobbing. So I just put my hand right on top of her head and I just started like caressing her hair. I said, "The Lord loves you, Melissa. He sent me here today just to tell you, describe to you." She's sobbing incoherently. And this, I don't know about you, but when a woman cries for 5 minutes, it feels like 5 years. Because you look at a woman, you're like, "What can I do to help you?" I mean, my wife, when she ever cries, it's like, you know, it feels like an eternity. And you're trying to comfort her, and it's like, "Well, I'm just trying to get you to stop crying so because I want to feel better right now about myself." I know no other husband has felt that way in this room, right? Amen or oh my. So finally, 5 minutes later, she gets coherent. And she said, "30 minutes before you walked in the door, I underlined in my Bible the passage about the woman with the flow of the issue of blood. And I said, Lord, I feel like I'm the woman with the flow of the issue of blood. And if you don't do something to speak to me, I'm not going to serve you anymore." And I prayed over her again, like 4 times now. The first thing she said after the last time I prayed, she goes, "I'm hungry. I want a pizza." I was like, "I don't know if that's a good idea." She called me a couple hours later through the friend's cell phone. She said, "I ate a whole pizza." I was like, maybe you want to start with something like a banana or a piece of toast. You know what I'm saying? Just a few weeks ago, I visited back to the same community. And she has been completely set free. And this is what she declared. She said, this is what she told me. When she was 17 years old, she gave up her firstborn son to adoption. And she was feeling that she was unworthy of God's love because she gave up that son. And it started to infect her intestines, her colon, and everything. She was like the woman with the flow of issue of blood. She had been to doctors all across her county, and they said, "We can't find anything wrong with you." And then, in a moment, the word of the Lord comes, and the Lord demonstrates how He loves His people. Even when they are being buttholes, He will do it. He will come and He will pour out His love. Because you know what? Jesus purchased our unworthiness. Even when she was being, I won't say that word, but even though when she was being like very unpleasant to me, He came and He poured out His love on her. And guess what? It came back to me. You know how it came back to me? When the last time I visited, she brought her entire family over to her house. And guess what? All of her brothers and sisters were there. They made this big banquet feast. And they said, we want you to come in and we're going to feed you. And they took me down. They took my shoes off. They set me at the table. And one by one, they came around me. And they started speaking prophetic words over me. It was so glorious, man. It was so awesome. See, pleroma is, here's the principle. What you have, you got a happy meal, you take it, you give it away. You get a banquet feast. Come on. You start operating prophetic words, you get them, God gives you more. To the point you can't contain them all because they keep coming back to you. And you become like this prophetic ninja. And you're like, I'm scouting out every place I go. I'm the prophetic ninja on a mission now. And I can't wait to deliver and drop a glory bomb on somebody's life. And you just uncork that bomb and go, bing! It lands on somebody's heart and they're like, how'd you know that about me? Because Jehovah's Jehovah Sneaky. He knows everything. He knows everything about everyone, everywhere. That's who He is. And that's how He rolls. And He delights in it. He's like, oh, they're giving it away. Oh, boy, I can't wait. I'm going to give more back to them. It's like to the point where you can't contain it. You don't have to muster or manufacture prophetic words. You just sit and enjoy. And you're like, oh, I got one word. I'll give it away. We heard the story of a man who was at this big conference, thousands of people. What was the word, Jared, that he used? Yeah. Yeah, he got up in front of thousands of people and goes, Kraft macaroni and cheese. He goes back and sits down in his seat. That's really a spiritual word, right? There was a woman in the audience who was praying because her son had committed suicide. And she wanted to know some sign from God that her son was secure in the Father's presence. His favorite food was Kraft macaroni and cheese. That's the Father we serve. We give, it comes back to us. Overflowing, good measure, pressed down, shaking together. Learning just to bless and give and impart the divine nature everywhere you go, every person you come in contact with. It just becomes natural. It's supernatural, natural living. Jesus only did what He saw His Father doing. That's what He did. You know, you never see Jesus, hey man, come on up. Abram, I'm sorry. I tried to switch your name. Come on up. He's attracted to me. He loves me. He loves me. The anointing has moved off of Jared now. He loves me more. All right, stand up with me, all right? Let's let the Lord do His thing. All right. Well, we ministered prophetically to most of the leadership team of the church since we've been here. And we sort of left two people out of the equation. And this is not aggrandizing what we're about to do. I really felt the Lord spoke to me a couple things about Sean and Miranda. But I felt like the church needed to hear those things. So because of that, I didn't speak it privately because I wanted to speak it publicly. Are you guys okay with that? Awesome. Good. I'm glad you are because I have the microphone. All right, Sean and Miranda, come down. I'm going to ask Mr. Jared Gustafson to join me here. Oh, come on up here. Yeah. Now, as you can tell, people from California are a little bit different.
Is it
we
my
look
shirt?
A little different.
It's a shirt,
it's a shirt, yeah. Just to give you a prequel here, the Lord speaks to me sometimes through images, through movies. He speaks a lot, movie clips to me. I speak those over people. You're really like, I don't know if there's rooted in Scripture. You know, I mean, okay, that's fine. I understand that. But the reality is we try to tie that all together to Scripture. Okay? And so I want you just to bear with me. And I preface this by saying the words that I'm about to speak over the two of them, at first are going to sound a little bit funny and strange. Okay? And so I want you just to go with the flow. All right? Because the first words they're going to speak, they're going to sound like, is he trying to be disrespectful? And I do not mean this in any way to be disrespectful. Okay? So you're like, everybody's on edge now, right? Yeah. All right. So the other night when we were praying and waiting on the Lord, and the Lord showed me an image of Gumby. And I was like, how do you tell someone, the Lord says you're like Gumby? And the Lord said to me to tell you, he knows all of the areas that you have been stretched in life. That he has stretched you, but every one of the stretchings has caused you to find a place of balance. That the stretching did not break you and did not tear you. The stretching actually formed you and prepared you for where you are today. And so, therefore, the Lord has been stretching. You have been in a major season for the last 5 years of stretching. It seems like every turn, every nook and cranny in life, you have come to a place where you have been stretched. And the Lord says, because you've been stretched, you've allowed yourself through the stretching not to lose your integrity. That your integrity has remained through all of the stretching that you've encountered. And this is the second thing the Lord spoke to me. He said, tell them I said, the transition is over. That your life has been a series of transitions. And Miranda specifically, there's been at times that you have felt like, how can I don't want to go through another transition. I would rather just things be normal. And the Lord says that normal, He's going to give you a new definition of normal. That your viewpoint and your perspective of life is going to radically change. Because the Lord wants you to know that you've endured transition after transition. But you've remained faithful and true to the things that He has put in your heart. And because you've remained faithful and true to the things that He's put in your heart, now the Lord can entrust you with what He really has called you to be. Not what He's called you to do, but He's really called you to be something. In fact, I see a fathering and mothering team that God is developing between the two of you. And that you're going to be fathering and mothering and mentoring young men and women in the faith like never before. That your hearts are really prone to invest and mentor and give life away. And the Lord said He has seen that in your heart. And because He's seen that in your heart, it's through the shaping and through the bending and the stretching and through the transitions that those things have been prepared for. And now you are ready to be launched. So, Father, we pray that over them right now, Father. We pray a launching over them, Lord, right now. In fact, I see the Lord bringing a new sense of, like, direction to the two of you. Not transitional direction, but a new direction of purpose. Because direction is not about what we do. Direction is about who we are in Him and reflecting that to others. That is the new season of direction for your life. Thank you, Father.
Yes, God. I just really see over you, Sean, that the Lord is just saying that you are His beloved son.
Mm.
And that there's a boldness and a courage in you that oftentimes you don't see for yourself necessarily, but we as the people of God, we see you as a man of courage and of boldness. And it's a bold thing to wait on the Spirit. It's a bold thing to just live life and be free as you are. And so I just declare that you are the Lord's beloved Son, that He's well pleased in you, and that there's a courage and that there's a boldness in you, and that that boldness and that courage gets to express itself in whatever way the Lord is doing in whatever season. It doesn't have to be a specific thing put on your shoulders to perform for the body, but it's just in you to just express it freely as you are yourself. And I just see, really, Lord, I just so thank you for Miranda as well, Jesus, just for the daughter that she is, and Lord, the mother, and then the sister. And yeah. I just believe that the Lord was saying, you don't have to be something for someone. You don't have to be, you don't even have to be the pastor's wife, that title, and all that comes with it, and all the burdens that oftentimes people would put on your shoulders or to pull you or tug you in different directions. But you just get to be you, the expression of Jesus, of who you are. And the Lord so delights in your expression of Him. And so we just stand together with the people of God, just agreeing that you too get to be you, that you are brothers and sisters. Yes, you are leaders, but you're leaders in the way you love the Father and respond to Him. Not by removing or meeting the needs of people, but just on the way you love Jesus. And others are drawn to Jesus as their author and their finisher, as you look to Him as your author and your Thank finisher. You don't have to be something special for the people of the Lord. You are special.
Thank you, Lord.
You are special as you just rest and be in His love. And I just so thank you, Father, for Miranda, Lord, and her expression of you. It is sweet and it's precious, Lord, before your sight. I so celebrate that, Father, and I'm so overwhelmed right now as I see her heart before you, and you
Thank
just
you,
delighting yourself in her, Father. For it is your pleasure. She is your pleasure, Lord, to be with her and to see her express you in
Thank
the way
you.
That you have given her
Thank you,
an
Father.
Expression. So yes, Lord, we just
Thank
celebrate
you,
that.
And also, Sean, the Lord just wants me to just confirm to you that He is removing all striving from your spirit. Just all striving is just right now. This is something that's just been placed on you since you were a young man. That whole sense of like anxiety and stress and the striving, the Lord is just like extricating it from your system right now. And that He's actually, and as He a good daddy does, is He when He takes something away, He replaces it with something. And He's taking it away right now, and He's replacing it with His fullness. With His fullness. And all striving is just, right now, is just being extricated from you. And the Lord just also says, He sees the times at nights that you literally are sleepless when you toss and turn and you're like, what about this, Lord, and what about that? And the Lord just says, I got you, son. I have you. I hold you. I hold you in the palm of my heart. Not in the palm of my hand, but I hold you in the palm of my heart. That's where you are centered. You are centered and secure in that place. And so all striving now is just gone. Right now. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. We just say that they are strong and courageous, that they are strong and powerful. We look at them that way today. We celebrate them. We place no burden on them other than for them to be themselves.
Thank you, Lord.
A simple expression of you, a brother and a sister. And
thank
we just
you,
so
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, for this house. And
thank you.
Just
Lord.
We as a people of God, you can just stretch your hands out towards them.
Yeah, come
we
on.
We just celebrate
us.
The fullness of God in these two.
Thank
this
you.
This couple that loves the Lord. We celebrate the
thank
fullness
you.
Of Jesus and their expression of that fullness.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Bless you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you just recognize the Lord's peace right now? This is His shalom. The shalom of God, the peace of God, changes atmospheres. In fact, right now, is the peace of God is just dwelling among us. The Lord is just like touching people here in your identity. He's touching you in your lack. He's giving you like word pictures in your mind and in your heart of who you are. There are women here that have been words of pain and abuse spoken over you. And the Lord has given you a picture that you're clothed in white, that you are without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, without accusation. And the Lord is taking His wedding clothes and He's clothing your spirit with the goodness of His love and His mercy. And He's just enveloping you. There are women in this room, all over this room. Your hearts are being healed right now from years of like toxic words that have been spoken over you. If that's you, I want you to put your hand over your heart right now. And the Lord, just let the Lord's love, He's going to give you visual eyes to see in your heart. Because the Bible says your eyes have heart. Your heart has eyes. And He's going to give you, the eyes of your heart are going to be enlightened that you might see what is the hope of His calling. And right now, toxicity is being uprooted and replaced with God's fullness. His full love is being poured out in over you right now.
Yes, God.
You are the beloved.
Yes, Jesus.
You are beautiful. Some of you women need to hear the word, you're beautiful. You're beautiful in the eyes of God. You're beautiful in His eyes because He has placed within you His beauty. It's the beauty of His holiness. You realize holiness is not so much what we do. It's a representation of what has been done in us and through us through the cross.
Yes, God.
His cross has made us holy. And some of you, the voice of the accuser, for some of the ladies here, the voice of the accuser has come and he's dumped toxins in your soul and said you're not worthy of love. And it's just polluted your system. And right now we just break that off of every woman in this room right now. We silence the voice of the accuser here. You have no place in the lives of the saints of God.
Yes, Jesus.
They possess all of the fullness of the Godhead dwelling bodily in them. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Jesus. I just feel like the Lord is speaking to the heart, especially of the women, that He is a nurturer and that He is your safe place, that He is your refuge and your strength, and He is your nurturer, and He takes the time to listen to you. And in the ways that the husbands in the room haven't been able to take the time to engage you and listen to you and understand you, the Lord says that He is your husband to listen, to understand. And I just believe there's men in this church that are strong men in the faith, and that they do and will continue to take the time to nurture and to hear the heart of their spouse, and that God is building family in this place in such a powerful way. Yeah. America needs family in this hour. Mm-hmm. The America needs family in this season and in this generation. And I believe that this church will be a place of family. It will be a place of strong family units and a strong family body. Mm-hmm. And so I just celebrate that in this place right now. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
I just want to say a word that the Lord says it's not mission impossible anymore. It's mission accomplished.
So this is what we're going to do to close this morning. We're going to have the people that went through sort of the training that we had for the last few days. If we would ask you to come down, and also all the young people that were here last night, we're going to ask you to come down. All right?
Yeah, come on.
If you're still here, Steve, bring those kids down here.
I just believe the Lord is just releasing this word. The only thing the people of God lack is an awareness of what they already possess. Mm. And just I wanted the Lord to sear that to your heart. The only thing we lack is just an awareness of what we possess. You have in you every spiritual blessing, it says in 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Every spiritual blessing is in you in Christ.
Yeah. So if you, how many of you are like in a place where you really just need to, you sense you really need to hear the Lord's voice speak to you right now? Just raise your hand real quick, all right? All right. Bunch of you, all right? Come on down. Come on down. And just pair up with someone that's like standing in front, you stand in front of someone, and then we're just going to sort of do some coaching from here. Here, Robert, that gentleman right there, Ken, Mikey. Yeah, and if you don't have someone standing in front of you, just pair up with some of the guys that are already here. Okay, there you go. Yeah, Mikey. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You can be seated out there. Appreciate it. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, we're just going to turn on some music, just some worship. But I just want to say that if you're down front and if you're a believer in this place, the most normal thing for you to is hear the Lord's voice. You are absolutely created, and everything in you is designed to know the Lord intimately well. Everything in you is completely designed to hear His voice and to know Him. It's not difficult. Sometimes the only thing that keeps us from hearing Him is the thing that sits between our ears. And we just need to sink into our heart right now and just know in our heart that God knows us. By His initiation, He speaks to us. And so if you're out there and you haven't come down front, I want you to engage together and just lay the hands on the person next to you, or you can just sit before the Lord and just receive from Him personally. Or you can just pray for one another as you sit out there. Everyone down here, we just thank you, Lord, for the expectation just to hear your voice. Lay hands on someone next to you. Lay hands on someone in front of you. And just wait on the Spirit. And whatever first pops into your mind, you just pray that. And there's provision to miss it at times. Anyone that receives a word today, if it's not making sense or doesn't resonate with what the Lord's been speaking to you, then just put it on the back shelf of your heart and just wait on it, okay? If it doesn't initially make sense, it's okay. You can just put it on the back shelf and wait on the Lord. So, yes, Lord, we thank you. So, yeah, just begin to lay your hands on one another and just to listen to the Lord's voice. It's a common voice. It's a familiar voice. And then just begin to pray what you feel in your heart for one another. Thank you, Jesus, in this place, Father. Thank you, Lord.